Now there was a dance that I used to do. The name of the dance they call a boogaloo. I may not do the dance as well as you, but baby, you can bet your bottom dollar you'll never hear me holler. I'll do the best that I can do.
Some good music for you, and we're live at the Hard Rock Cafe, and you can come by here. Going to be live around 5 o'clock. Live and wet, and a lot of fun. A lot of folks are here, and you can stop by and say hello. Our guests this afternoon: Peter Wolf, Richard Belzer, Ron Wood, Joan Jett by telephone from Germany, and all that. Of course,
and Liberace.
Yeah, and Liberace and his piano, his orchestra, and chorus, and his brother. And sorry about that. A little crazy. I got to tell everybody that was crazy from your album, which has a lot of good things on it. And we're going to talk to our special guest and our good friend Peter Wolf, and be back with you right after these messages.
I wanna suck on your gun.
And the lesson we learn from this story is
crazy, crazy, that's what I am.
Mars needs women.
What?
This is a song about L-O-V-E. And if you abuse it, you're gonna lose it. If you lose it, you're gonna abuse it. If you abuse it, you ain't gonna be able to choose it, cause you ain't gonna have it further on down the line. Things ain't gonna be so fine. You're gonna be sitting there on your little machine, trying to look and keep it clean. You're gonna be playing bingo all night all alone.
.1027. This is Dennis Elsis, WNEW-FM. Scott Muni is live with Peter Wolf at the Hard Rock Cafe. Let's go uptown and across town for Scott Muni. Scott?
And for everybody all over the place, whether you're uptown, downtown, across town, or over in New Jersey, or up in Connecticut, or out in Pennsylvania, wherever you are welcome. We're live at the Hard Rock Cafe, West 57th Street. That's right between Broadway and 7th Avenue. Having a lot of fun with our jockey friend, our disc jockey friend, Pete Wolf, Peter Wolf.
Thank you.
Of course, can make a lot more money selling records and doing live performances than in the DJ business, but let me ask you a question. That's a goodie. I just thought of that.
Yes, no.
You were on the radio.
Yeah.
What did you make a week?
Well,
remember?
I was on the radio. Yeah, I do remember. Zero.
Zero. That was a good boss. He said, wait, you get paid monthly,
yeah,
and you work for 3 weeks, and they fired you, so you didn't get paid.
It was. Like they said the experience was worth it all. That's what I was told in the handbill. No, but
really?
Actually, it was no pay at the time because I was doing it 7 days a week, plus working with the band and clubs and racing over the studio, and then we'd go from midnight to about 7 in the morning, 7 days a week. But one did not think about the coins at that time. It was just great to get on the radio and play all sorts of different music. And I remember up in Boston one night, I got a phone call, and Muddy Waters was in town, and he came by my radio show, and there he was, the great Muddy Waters, and Otis Spann, and James Cotton, one of the great harp players of all time. And Muddy, who I really learned so much from and was fortunate enough to become a friend of him. I know we have a record here. This is not the original, but this is something Muddy did with Johnny Winters, and I know Muddy always liked it, and it's got a real good sound. It's the one I'm thinking of, and I like to walk out on this one. First of all, thank you for having me and everybody here at NEW. Happy anniversary, and many, many more, and let's Muddy walk on out with The Mannish Boy.
Come back and do a show with Peter Thanks. Wolf. All right, everybody, Peter Wolf.
Everything gonna be all right this morning. Oh yeah. Now when I was a young boy, at the age of 5, my mother said I was gonna be the greatest man alive. But now I'm a man, way past 21. You got to believe me, woman, I have lots of fun.
Now, I just want to tell everybody we're live at the Hard Rock Cafe on West 57th Street, Scott Muni, on WNEW-FM in New York, celebrating its 17th anniversary, Sexy in 17. And those of you who were listening yesterday know that we started off our show and did the first hour roughly with Elton John, who came in and was I'll tell you something, I never saw anybody get that sick. He was really sick, and so he wanted to do the entire show, which he was going to do until 5 o'clock, and he even asked if he could just find some place where there was a bed and get a little nap for a few minutes and come right back on the show because he was feeling bad. And then he got chills, and then he started sweating, and he got hot and everything and back and forth. So he was sent back to his hotel, and last night Elton had to cancel the concert at Madison Square Garden. He was at the Garden and was trying, hopefully, to feel better enough to get on stage, and actually couldn't walk. So they did call off the concert at the last minute after everybody had filled the Garden, of course, and they were anticipating a great concert, as Elton always does. Now, I've been told now that Elton John will perform tonight at the Garden. When you have the flu, and I think everyone who's in our listening radius, everyone has had a touch of the flu in some form or another, whether it's serious or medium or whatever, and when it does get at its extreme point, you know, you say, I'm not moving my legs, because first of all, they won't even move anyway, and my head, I already lost my head, and that's the point that happened yesterday. It's happened twice now on his tour, and after more than 12 years of touring, Elton John had never, until this particular tour, had to cancel a concert, nor did he. And so I know you would be disappointed, as I would be too, if I had gone all the way to the Garden last night and expecting a concert and have it canceled. That is a disappointment. That concert is rescheduled for November. If you can't make it then, I think it's November 12th or 11th or 12th, whichever date it is, you know about it. If not, you can, of course, get your money refunded at the place of purchase of your tickets. I apologize for Elton John because I know what a sincere, hardworking performer he is, who has always given you more than your money's worth, no matter what the ticket cost. He's a very versatile, a very talented person, and he has great energy and strength. And yesterday here, for me to ask him to go back to his hotel instead of stay here and do a show with us, was awful easy to do because he was extremely ill. But I am told now that he will perform tonight, and I hope that's true because I can tell you there's not one person who wants to do a concert more than Elton John and get on that stage. Our next guest this afternoon, we are live at the Hard Rock Cafe on NEWFM, is Richard Belzer, who is another guy just like Peter Wolf who has had some radio experience, so he's going to be playing DJ. But before, Richard, I welcome you.
Thank you, Scott. Happy birthday.
Thank you.
You don't look 17. You look fabulous.
Well, I'm really, how many times 17? One times 17, two times 17, three times 17, four times 17, five times 17, six times 17. I'm not very good at math.
You look the same to me.
I'm the big old guy on the block, that's all. But I love to rock, so I'm the rock block.
That's why I'm here, baby.
I want to read to you folks by way of introduction, because I think it's more than fair to do this. From this very day, Friday, October 26th, New York Post, this evening edition, Richard Belzer. Well, first it's headline, Cable Show Will Crack You Up, by Kurt Davis. Richard Belzer says that when he becomes well-renowned, he won't snub the little people unless they leave me no choice. Belzer, comedy master of the four-letter word, has begun his climb, and the current rung is the Richard Belzer Show, a half-hour series beginning on Cinemax tomorrow night at 11. Playing himself in a fictional comedy club where he MCs, Belzer makes an impressive series debut. He uses the camera extremely well. There's comfort and nuance. Oh, wise guy. If you don't get a string of belly laughs per episode, there are six to run through January, you do get consistent direction by fellow comic David Steinberg and writing that fit the leading man to a T. Because the show is on cable, freedom of language makes this fairly representative Belzer. There may be fewer four-letter words, but they're all here. And they're not offensively spewed for effect alone. There's also situational comedy. He begs his ex-wife to be kind when documentary filmmakers interview her. Marilyn Monroe was with a president of the United States. She didn't go to the press. She took medication. And Tom Leopold, as his manager, is very funny, talking too loudly during one of Belzer's onstage performances, so you have to talk to him about that.
Forgive me for laughing at my own review.
Hey,
I never
a favorable
heard
review.
Well.
A favorite. That's a good review.
That's great. I'm very happy.
So you have to drop a note to Kurt Davis at the Post.
Yes.
And tell him, hey, thanks a lot, Kurt, and I appreciate that, and I'm going to talk to Tom Leopold and, you know, whatever.
I'll tell my manager, Rick Newman, to do that.
Richard Belzer is going to play disc jockey and be with us for a little while here this afternoon, and also coming up this afternoon, Ron Wood of Stones. Right now, though, before we start talking to Mr. Belzer, we're going to have a few folks talking to you with a few messages.
This is 102.7 WNEW-FM, our final broadcast live from the Hard Rock Cafe with Scott Muni. Scott will be back in just a moment with Richard Belzer.
Any one of you lily-livered, bow-legged varmints care to slap leather with me?
Stand back, y'all, because it's time. 102.7 WNEW-FM New York brings you the shootout at the Hard Rock Cafe with the Kid.
I'm the hootin'est, tootin'est, shootin'est bobtail wildcat in the West.
And now, here he is himself, the Kid, Scott Muni.
Scott Muni, you're right.
A man's man.
I reckon, well, actually, the Kid is a very nice comic. I'm the old kid on the block and the big one, too. Don't mess around. I ain't got my guns today. but I don't need them either, you know.
I'll protect you, Ben.
Thank you very much. Richard Belzer is our guest. Richard, we welcome you.
Thank you.
You have a great deal of talent. Do you miss radio, by the way?
Actually, I do. I love radio. The only thing that was wrong was I had to get up every morning at 5:30, be on the air
smart.
At 6. And
Wait, hold it. You got up at 5:30, you're on the air at 6. Where the hell did you live, next door?
I ran to work.
Oh, okay.
I worked at 30 Rock.
Yeah,
NBC. NBC. AM, which I don't listen to anymore because, you know, you told me never to listen to AM.
No, because you can't hear any music,
right. It's
too much quality static. Music. You have to listen to it.
And now that NEW is the only real rock station in New York, I'm just going to glue my dial there. And
that's good. Cement
kind of
it
woman
in.
I am.
Let me ask you something now, because you are a very talented young man. Where were you?
When the lights came on?
When the lights came on, sort of. When everything started to change. And that was Beatlemania. What were you doing, and how did you feel about Beatlemania? All of a sudden, here, something happened.
Well, I was trying to convince my parents that I could comb my hair the way the Beatles did. I wasn't in show business then. I was just trying to get my hair over my ears and have bangs in 1964 in Bridgeport, Connecticut. So they threw me in jail and put me in irons.
But
I was
you
a little
know
ahead
what?
Of my time.
Of course, that was exactly... It was my idea. I said, here are four new teddy bears for
right.
everybody to have something different. They looked different.
Right.
And prior to that, here, we always had individual people. Okay, there was a Frankie Avalon. There was a Fabian Elvis
right.
Presley. Of course, all the obvious people. But all of a sudden, here's a group. And I think the press dubbed them Mop Tops,
uh-huh.
whoever it was. But to me, the way... the younger generation here in America looked at them, they had to have something to do with them because they were like teddy bears. They were something they hadn't seen before.
Mm-hmm. They
and
also,
they wanted to cuddle them. Well, the girls wanted to cuddle them.
Right, and the guys wanted to be them, and the girls wanted to cuddle them. So
right,
they got
exactly.
both. I think the fact that the Beatles hit real big 90 days after the Kennedy assassination picked up that thing that Kennedy engendered in youth, and the Beatles just picked up the torch, and they were very needed, I think, at that time. I'm not saying they wouldn't have been big if there was no Kennedy, but... They would have, but I think there's a direct correlation in that point in history. They came along just at the right time when everyone had lost hope, and they infused that in people, and, you know, the rest is history, obviously.
Yep. And your current project now, let's talk about...
Coincidentally, there's...
Cable show.
Yeah, I have a show that premieres tomorrow night on Cinemax at 11 o'clock. Produced by Rick Newman, my manager, and starring yours truly. You weren't available. I was going to have you. It was going to be the Scott Muni Show starring Richard Belzer, but you were you were working, and I begged your people, but they said no way. So I had to go it alone. And it's great because we shoot a lot of the stuff at Catch a Rising Star, some stuff in the studio, and there's situational comedy and live performances, and it's kind of a hybrid show, and I'm very proud of it. And you'll see you tomorrow night, right?
Well, Richard, we're very happy to have you here, yes. And,
thank you.
And, you know, behind you over here is our own Mark McEwen.
Yes, I remember Mark.
Who does, you know...
I introduced him at Catch a Rising Star in 1975.
You did?
Yeah.
Very first time? Come over to the mic, Mark. Come on.
First time I was ever on stage, scared to death. I had the Pampers on. And, Richard Belzer introduced me, and I barely remembered it. It was like, barely remembered
you
it.
Do.
But you did it, and you did a good job. I appreciate it.
Were you clean?
Kind of.
I mean, humor.
Yeah,
oh,
kind of.
I know you had your Pampers on. But.
Yeah, no, that part was dirty, right? Dirty the old Pampers are Mark McEwen. And, well, you know, to me, I think that one of the toughest things in the world to do, when you go out on stage and you're with a rock group,
right?
And there's six guys, five guys, four guys, and or females, or you know, depending on the makeup of the group, then the music starts and sets people's moods, and the people react and cheer and scream and yell and bark and bite and all the rest of that. But for a guy to do stand-up alone is, to me, I guess maybe the toughest assignment there is, because as well, we had a guest earlier this week. And I guess looking at you're playing, let's say, Atlantic City or Las Vegas, where folks are really there, you
uh-huh.
know, either losing their hooky-dookies or getting ready to.
Right.
And, or, you know, going out to gamble and all that, and to perform and do a thing is really, I guess... you know when you die.
Yeah.
Is that right?
Well, see, working in a gambling capital is much different than opening for a rock band or headlining yourself. The hardest thing in the world for me was, you used to see me a lot at the Bottom Line. I opened for almost everyone down there over in the 70s. I went on, opened for all the rock groups there. And at first, you were a frisbee target and an epithet target. Yeah. But that's kind of how I developed my style, from going on to Catch a Rising Star and the Bottom Line, and having to deal with people who had been drinking or taking other forms of medication that I won't name, but it's not a state audience in a theater. So I developed my style by confronting the audience. And instead of just sticking to my act, I departed from my set pieces and would talk to people in the audience, and that kind of got them to focus on what was happening, and eventually I evolved into the masterful comedian that I am. No. But that's how it happened. I was forced to make contact with the audience, and it helped me, you know, as a performer.
I'll have to identify the person I was talking about, because you know him as Joe Piscopo, and Joe was with us on Monday here on our show.
Who was he? Was he Joe or someone else?
No, he was Joe Piscopo, and he was a good DJ, too. He turned out to be a good disc jockey,
really,
and
good
had
guy.
A lot of fun here,
yeah,
and he was talking about, he said, I looked out, and there was a sea of dyed blue hair, bouffant hair styles of the ladies, and they were all
was this
saying,
his
what the hell is this guy going to do on stage? And then when he came out as Sinatra, they all loved him, you know,
right.
Of course, and everything else, because Sinatra wasn't there, so what are they going to do? He does a good Sinatra. But
thank God for Frank.
Said he had no idea, you know, how he would be accepted, and now he feels comfortable there. But it's the toughest thing in the world, I think, is a one-man band. I mean, that's
right. There's
that's
no charts. There's no band. But I
you're going to play disc jockey, so
yes,
we're on NEWFM in New York. We're live from the Hard Rock Cafe. You can stop by. Our guest is Richard Belzer. Ron Wood is coming over in a little while, and it's our final day. So if you want to say hello or something, come on by. We're on 57th Street between 7th Avenue and Broadway. Our guest DJ at the moment is Richard Belzer. And do what you want to do.
Buddy. Well, they asked me who's some of my favorite artists, and besides Bruce and the Stones, I think Neil Young's a close third. And this is a cut from his album, his second album, I believe, 1970, Neil Young's Cinnamon Girl. Dig it. Guy's name, Scott?
He's a newcomer from New Jersey.
There's something
he's
about
him. He's been doing real good, hasn't he?
He works in local clubs in Asbury Park, right?
Right, down on the shore and around here. In
he's a new Jewish? Springsteen, right?
Springsteen.
Yeah, you know Jewish what? Player. He actually he is, and he's Dutch.
Italian.
Dutch.
Dutch and Italian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's
I made up the Jewish part.
That's all right. I mean, listen, I'll tell you one thing he's doing something right.
Oh, wow. Guys, he's the best.
And your first song that you played there.
Yeah, Cinnamon Girl.
Neil Young.
He's one of my favorites. I think that he's kind of an unsung hero.
Well, oh, no, I think he's sung.
You think he's recognized? People... You think he's sung?
I think a lot of people are upset at Neil because it's not Crosby, Stills, Nash, and Young anymore. But well, Neil, that's the only
Neil
reason you can have
for himself.
Being upset.
Yeah, right.
Because there's a lot of other folks that left groups, too.
Well, they rejoined those
well,
guys.
But Neil Young has his own thing, and he does it, and he does it well. And I think people who love him a lot.
Yeah, he's great.
Rumor has it that he may even rejoin them and do a thing.
Really?
Yeah. Well, I mean, how
oh,
can
I know
you
they're
just like Graham
him,
Nash and
he was doing
Crosby
a thing with Waylon Jennings.
Yeah, he's into country now.
Yeah.
There is a town.
Well, I think he always was. Wait, think about
yeah.
it.
In the
Go
beginning,
all the
yeah.
way back. No, I mean, he...
Are you ready for the country that was off of Harvest? That's a country. Country
yeah.
Influence.
By the way, Mark McEwen is with us here. Richard Belzer and Mark McEwen and Mark has a lot in common in that Mark likes
we're
to do some stand-up
yeah,
comedy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mark isn't black.
Oh,
yeah.
My mistake. I'm terribly
he,
sorry.
He came back
Richard
from,
is, I'm not.
Yeah, he came back from 2 weeks in Florida.
Every Jewish comic wants to be a black jazz musician, but, well, that's another show.
And every black jazz musician wants to be a Jewish comic.
We got some good lines and some good fun. Mark McEwen's here with us, and so is Richard Belzer, and we're going to be right back talking to Richard after we have some money-making ideas.
Can I make some money on this?
Well, no, but we're going to.
Oh, okay.
But shortly after you conclude your broadcast, we have an exclusive press conference from Deep Purple. It'll be just a little bit after 5 o'clock this afternoon to talk about the reunion and a tour and new music and all that sort of stuff.
How deep are they?
Good. Deep purple.
How deep are they, Scott?
Deep in the purple.
Oh, Dennis Elsa, thank you very, very much for turning it over to us, you see.
Thank you, Jack.
Just like that.
Thank you, Dennis.
Sing, Dennis, sing.
Yes.
All right, Den, I'll tell you what. Charlie Kendall... We're going to be talking, of course, to Richard Belzer and to our own Mark McEwen. We're going to do a little thing about some of the comedy stuff that's going on. And right now, though, we're going to go out into the audience because Charlie Kendall's out there with Carol Miller.
Yep.
We'll see what's going on. Carol, you there?
I certainly am. I'm standing right in front of the large anniversary cake, which actually is almost gone. And the reason it's almost gone is because people have been coming here all week celebrating WNEW-FM's 17th anniversary. And you know what else is almost gone, Scott? The T-shirts, the commemorative T-shirts.
That's great.
Which are to be benefited for the T.J. Martell Foundation, a very worthy cause, cancer and leukemia research at Mount Sinai. They're available for $7.50, and they're limited edition T-shirts for this week, commemorating all the very special guests that you had on the air here. And until about 5 o'clock tonight, you can come on by and get the shirts. Of course, if we have any left, which, like this cake, it doesn't look like we're going to have too much left, they'll be available at the station on Monday. Charlie Kendall's around here. Everybody's up here partying. And I'll throw it back to you.
Thank you very much, Carol. Carol Miller. And, of course, Carol will be headed for work shortly. She's going to be on the air. But we've been on the air all this week. We've had just wonderful people. And some of our special friends who were not able to be here because, well, it was like David Boy yesterday called us from Yorkshire.
Pudding.
And from the pudding country. And Dan Aykroyd called us from Los Angeles today. Of course, Joan Jett called from Germany and so forth. And it's kind of interesting because I don't know how the hell they knew we were doing this, if they're in Los Angeles or Germany or Yorkshire. But Bowie, I asked him if he was still painting.
Who, David?
Yeah, because one time he was very much into painting as well as doing all the other things,
right.
Acting, producing, directing, and he's obviously a multi-talented person. He said he hadn't done anything in 2 years except in the last month he started to paint again.
Hmm.
So he said, why did you ask? I said, because you promised me a painting, so you better paint me one, so I don't know what I'm going to get.
Maybe he'll come over your house and paint your porch for you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bowie porch.
Windows? How about the car? Paint the car, too. Hey, Mark, come on in here and talk
to... Richard. Now, we were talking before about how I said it was scary getting on stage for the first time.
For you.
You, young man, are an established comedian, a very funny gentleman. When did it happen you went from being to, oh, no, to, hey,
oh,
I'm
no,
pretty
to,
good.
Oh, to, oh, no, to what?
To, hey, oh. I'm happening.
Well, actually, I was always funny. I was funny in the womb. I was funny.
You're funny
in,
I bet your mom will verify.
Yeah, she will.
the night of conception, you were hilarious.
Well, I was a little slow that night, but after that, I kind of picked up. No, I was always funny, and I always got in trouble for being funny, and just finally, when I got old enough to walk into an audition, I was funny there, and... it's just, I got thrown out of every school, every job I ever had, and then I just wandered into show business because it was the last vestige for me. And I auditioned to Catch a Rising Star one night, and Rick Newman said, good. And I came back a year later. No, the first night he saw me, he took me under his wing. He's a deformed person. He has a wing and an arm. And
web feet. The whole
and web
thing.
Feet. Only 1 foot is web. Actually, he was very sweet to me and very supportive, and he kind of nurtured my career, and that's why today he owns 95% of everything I make. But I enjoy it so much, I don't care.
That's a heck of a 5% that you got left over. Well, who were your heroes growing up, comedic heroes?
Well, Groucho, Jack Benny. I guess mostly Jack Benny and Groucho are my main people. And
did you like slapstick?
I love the Three Stooges. Yeah. Jay Leno, a good friend of mine, is a very funny comedian, said, you ever notice that men like the Three Stooges and women hate the Three Stooges?
Because they're men's ugly guys.
No, because of the violence, I guess. But the Three Stooges, of course.
No, you know what's happening now. And sometimes I'll catch in between. In New Jersey, I'll catch Philadelphia stations and New York stations running the Three Stooges.
Right.
And young children, girls and boys, would rather watch Laurel and Hardy, Three Stooges, Abbott and Costello than color cartoons.
I'm not surprised.
So you figure that out. Really? The cartoons, I mean, they're running, they all sold out. Yeah.
They're loaded.
What's that?
Ah! I'll moody to you.
Now, wise guy, huh?
You raghead.
Spread out, you knucklehead.
One thing that he hasn't spoken about, you've done movies. I saw you, brilliant Night Shift, just brilliant.
Thank you.
And I love the reviews of that movie. Is it tougher taking the comedy from the stage to the camera, in front of the camera?
No, it's not tougher. It's just different. Like, I'm on radio, so I don't do my nightclub act. When I'm in a nightclub, film, radio, they're all different, and they all offer a different kind of challenge and approach. And, you could be as good as you want, any one, and not think that you're not able to do what you really do. I mean, people say, how can you not swear on the radio? Well, it's pretty easy because...